This morning, our subject is God. We need sometimes to disengage our attention from the clamor of the world about us and from the rush of current events and fix our mind upon the eternal God. God does not change. He has never changed. And He never will change. He is eternally perfect. Nothing else in the universe is in that category. In Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27, Moses says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." God is not cold and remote. God is present everywhere. He is a present and loving God, vitally interested in the affairs of each one of His children. We must recognize that for the world, they have no such sense. God is just a name to them. They may tip their hat in His direction once in a while, but their life does not center in God. But ours must. The only reason that we exist is because God has created us for Himself. He is our goal. He is the whole purpose of our life. And this sermon is one of a series to concentrate our attention on His magnificent attributes. Eternity is one of them. God has always been here. He has always existed. Our minds reach out into the past and just stagger at the thought. For everything else, there's got to be a beginning somewhere. But there was never a beginning for Him. God always existed. And we can reach in the other direction, into the future, and God will always be there. He is the one timeless being in the universe. And He is so great that He has brought into existence multitudes of other beings. And He desires to have fellowship with them because His nature is Trinitarian. He is, within that unity of the one true God, three persons that have always shared in eternal and infinite love, that have always, in their fellowship, planned together how the best way to spend eternity would be. And it turns out to be thinking of others. Well, I don't know that we would have made such a choice if that had been up to us and we had pondered how we could best exist forever. I'm not sure that we would have thought of making others and making them happy as the goal of our existence. But that was the thought of God. He desired to share His presence forever with others and to make them blessed and happy in the highest sense, not just the jazzy way that the world thinks of happiness, but a deep, satisfying, indwelling happiness in the existence of God and the existence of others who serve Him. In Psalm 46:1, the psalmist says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Now that is a thought that we can cherish. God is not just a remote being, distant from us. No, He is our refuge and strength. Do you realize that that is why the world is so difficult a place to be in? Why there are dangers? Why there are trials that we must go through? None of that is an accident. It is all there by the providential care of God, because He is moving us toward Himself. He is reminding us that we are not sufficient for these things, that we need help, divine help, just to get through this world and beyond, because He plans forever. The eternal God is organizing everything for the benefit of His people, that they may share eternity with Him, that they may be there all the time with Him and on into the ages to come. A staggering idea, a plan vastly greater than any of us could imagine. But He has planned it all. And beyond that, He has the power to see His plan fulfilled in every detail. That leaves us awestruck to think that the God of the universe put us into His plans and is organizing things for our benefit. That is beyond our imagination, but it's clearly revealed in Scripture. In Isaiah 57:15, the prophet says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." A majestic portrait of our God, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. My, He dwells in eternity. The past has never been so long as to be without Him. The future cannot be long enough to exist without Him. He inhabits eternity. He is infinite. He fills all the time that exists and on into eternity future. It's a breathtaking thought the prophet has. But He is gracious. And His thought is not just His majestic existence. His thought is to make lesser creatures, creatures who can never come up to His level, but creatures that He can bless and share eternity with. Now that's an astonishing idea. Why would God be concerned about small creatures and wish to share His majestic existence forever with them? Now, He's put some kind of a little spark of that within us. Somehow that rings a bell. Because for most of you, you have had the occasion of having a household pet. A dog or a cat, or in some cases a whole succession of such pets. And you look with fond approval on that. They've been a blessing, something that you have delighted in, and you are glad for such a thing. Now, someone who is not a pet lover doesn't understand that at all. But if you are a pet lover, you do understand that. There's something about having little creatures about that is attractive. Well, personally, I think that's something that God gave us by nature, because that's exactly our relationship to Him. We are not on an equal basis. We are infinitely inferior. But He is pleased to have us about. And that's an interesting thought. That relationship of a pet with a master is something that is exactly parallel to that. But He has done something which we can't do for any pet. He has shared not merely his eternal existence with us, but some of his spiritual perception, so that we can understand him the way a pet never could understand a human master. They're always, I'm sure, mystified at what we do. But God opens up that horizon before us, that we can share eternity with him in a loving condition, but in something far more exalted than a mere pet. We are his people, made in his image, trained by the hardships and difficulties of life to face an eternal existence with all its challenges by his power and his grace, knowing that he has said, "My servants shall serve me." Now that hangs fire for all of us. He has an infinite purpose for us, one that stretches on into the future beyond our ability to see even what is there. But he intends great things for his people. And the things we have to endure now, the trials and struggles that we must go through here, he assures us are preparations in which he is molding us for a future of great glory, great responsibility, service of the eternal King that shall never cease and that shall be effective by his grace and his power. That's an awesome thought. But this is what God sets before his people. He is the one who inhabits eternity. His plans are eternal, vast beyond our comprehension, and we are part of it. And he is preparing us for eternal service, work that he intends to accomplish through us. That is tremendous grace and great love as well, that he should deign to use such poor creatures as we are and fit them for an eternity of service for him. But this is what he is doing. In John 10:28, Jesus says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now, that tells us that the Lord Jesus is determined to give his people eternal life. It is a free gift. No one can pluck them out of his hand. There is such a thing as eternal security. It is not something that we can boast about because we have nothing to do with it. It is something that he does for his people. When they choose him, he chooses them. And his choice is never going to be turned aside. Our choice is a fragile thing. We need his grace constantly. We need his help and guidance and direction. But his choice is unerring. His choice, once made, will last forever. And that is a breathtaking thought. When the Lord Jesus says they shall never perish, here is the Lord of heaven and earth speaking. He can arrange that. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Who is powerful enough to take something out of the Lord's hand? The devil himself does not have such power. All the angelic company wouldn't dare. Those are words of tremendous comfort. They should be no words that cause arrogance at all, because we are totally submissive in the hand of the Lord Jesus. We can't arrange anything. We can't plan our future at all. Oh, we try to. And we see the loose ends go to pieces very easily. But he is never defeated and never puzzled. He knows exactly what he is doing, and he is accomplishing that perfectly right on time. And he shall continue to do that. He is Lord of heaven and earth. Now, when he promises they shall never perish, that is a great comfort. It depends on him to keep that promise. We know we can't make it. We know we can stumble, but he never will. Our trust must be in him alone, not a bit of it in ourselves. Now, the Lord Jesus must be eternal in order to give eternal life to his people. He can't give us what he does not have. Just as the Father has eternity, the Son also has eternity. He is able to give that to his creatures. In John 17:3, the great high priestly prayer, the Lord Jesus commented in that prayer, verse 3, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Now that is one of the most beautiful characterizations of eternal life that we have in all the Bible. What is eternal life like? Well, people imagine it's living in heaven. It's being near the tree of life. It's hearing the angels sing. All those are minor details. That hasn't captured what eternal life is. His words, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." This will be our challenge for all eternity, to know the infinite. Now, we can't do that. We don't have infinite capacity. And so that means, as we meditate on his person, his love, his grace, his majesty, that we will never comprehend all of it. We will constantly be learning more about it for all eternity. Do you realize that all your life you are learning things? You're working hard to learn things and will up to the day of your death. But that doesn't stop there. You're going to be learning things forever because you are a finite creature and what you're learning is infinite. You are always going to be astonished at how great God is, always going to be amazed at how magnificent his love is, and his glory, and his grace. And you go down the line of the divine attributes, there's always going to be more for you to understand. That is what will make heaven so thrilling. It's not a static place. If we designed a place, it would be, you know, just there. And you could go about it and figure out everything that's there, and that was it. After a while, you're bored. Even in a nice place. But our life is going to be in the presence of God. We're never going to be able to wholly comprehend him. We're always going to be amazed at his grace, thunderstruck at his love, astonished at his power and majesty. It is always going to be something that we marvel about. All eternity will be a matter of amazement at the nature of God. We have so much to learn and so little to grasp the infinite with. One of the great features of our Lord and Savior is the fact that he characterizes us as his bride, and that he himself is the bridegroom. Now, a newly married couple is enraptured with one another. They can't think of one another enough. They sit there and gaze at one another as though it were, you know, limpid pools of delight as they gaze into one another's eyes. Well, after a while, the vision gets corrected to the nasty now and now. But nonetheless, that marvelous spark of love between persons is going to be a divine spark that can never stop. Because what we see will be someone who is infinite in his majesty, his beauty, his knowledge, his power, his wisdom. You go through the divine attributes. We are not going to be able to fully comprehend any of them, much less all of them. And as we gaze upon the Lamb, we will see him shining in a splendor and a glory beyond anything we could imagine in this realm. And that amazement is never going to leave us. That delight in his presence is never going to grow old, because he is infinite and we are not. We are always going to be learning new things about him, always going to be able to see more clearly his marvelous, glorious nature. And we will always be astonished at his greatness and his love. It is a magnificent future that stretches out before us. Eternal life can never be merely existence, because the wicked have that. The lost have that. They're going to exist forever, but not the way they wanted, not the way they had desired. But they turned away from the source of all life and goodness. They rejected the love of God. And they, yes, will always exist, but always in sorrow, always in despair. A grim future, not to mention the flames of eternal punishment. But God is gracious toward his people, and we shall always have astonishment at how great he is. And because he is infinite, we will always be learning more about how great he is. When we consider that with a word, "let there be," he created this universe. And astronomers argue over how great that universe is. Every generation, they revise their estimates larger. I've been around for a long time, humanly speaking. And when I first started studying astronomy, we had a very different set of equations for the size of the universe. And every little bit, they realized that their measurements were wrong. The very speed of light was wrong. Everything basic to science was wrong. And they keep revising and revising and revising. And now the estimates are staggering size. Now the estimates go on as far as space that they can comprehend. It goes out way beyond the imagination of preceding generations. They haven't come anywhere near the edge, because it's infinite. God fills all that is, and he can never be measured. And all the struggles of science to figure out how great the universe is are doomed, because God is greater than all the measurements that man can devise. We can be thankful for that. In Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead," or divinity. Romans 1:20. The invisible things of him are clearly seen. Creation shows us what God is like. He is a magnificent being because he has created a creation so vast, so huge in size that it's staggering. But it's beautiful. Whether you're looking at the galaxies and constellations in the heavens and the magnificence of the starry universe, it's spectacular, breathtaking. Or whether through microscopes you are going down into the nature of things, to the structure of the atomic relationship, it's all magnificent. It is all beautifully designed. There isn't any place that does not have design. Even things that look like they're destructive still have design to them. He has designed it all. And we stand amazed when we look at this universe and how He has created such a vast thing, so beautiful, and a place that we can dwell in, and the assurance that this is just the front doorstep, that His home for us is another place, vastly greater, vastly better, and one that can never perish. And we are left with astonishment. Why should God do all this for us? Friends, there's only one answer. He loves us. There is no other reason. We can never be worth His trouble. We can never be worth the effort. But He loves us. And not only does He care for us here, but He is planning on caring for us there forever, for all the ages of eternity to come. He is planning on how He can make our life better, more satisfying, more blessed, more filled with joy and praise and celebration for His greatness. The thought is absolutely staggering, but this is what He is planning. No wonder in 1 Timothy 1:17, Paul says, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul thought of how great that was and marveled at the nature of God, the only wise God. There is only one God who has all wisdom. That is our Heavenly Father. All the gods of mankind are foolish, shameful imitations, caricatures. In Hebrews 5:9, the writer of the Hebrews says, "Christ, being made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him." Eternal salvation. Our salvation is keyed in with the nature of God. God is eternal. And so what He gives to His people has got to be eternal. He desires their eternal benefit. And He has planned for them an eternal place where they may be satisfied fully with His presence and His pleasure. And oh yes, Revelation describes that place. That is not just a pious dream. That is a very real location that God has been working on for a long time and is continuing to work on, and will be of such spectacular provisions that we will continually be amazed that He could do such a thing. In Hebrews 9:14, the writer says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" How much more? The blood of Christ, divine blood, blotted out the sins of every saint who trusts in the Lord Jesus. That blood is infinitely powerful. It is the only thing that can cover the stains of sin. And it does that with perfection. In the next verse, 9:15, "And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." An inheritance that can never vanish away. as notorious in this life. Oftentimes, parents will do their best to lay up an inheritance for children. And in the caprice of accident and nature, it's all wiped out and there isn't anything. But that doesn't happen when God is involved. God lays up an inheritance that can never be wiped out, can never be deleted, can never be missed. The inheritance is, in the last analysis, Himself. He gives Himself to His people. But oh yes, there'll be a beautiful place where that is done. There'll be glorious companies of angels celebrating what is going on. But the importance of that gift is the giver Himself. He gives Himself to His people and shares His eternal nature with His people. And we shall never perish, never be able to die, always be in His presence, because that's His gift, eternity. We don't have it by right. We came into existence in this world, but we're not going to pass out of existence in this world. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're going to live forever. He's going to give Himself to you. And you will share eternity with Him through all the ages to come and be excited to see what He has planned for the future, because the revelation says His servants shall serve Him. It is not an existence of just time-consuming piecemeal work. It is the excitement of watching what the divine purpose is for all the ages to come. The God who planned the past is planning the future, and it's going to be exciting beyond all understanding now. By His grace, we will have a part in it. By His grace, we will be His instruments of blessing and benefit to people not yet created. Only He knows how great that plan is. In 1 Peter 5:10, Peter says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." After you've suffered for a while. Yes, this life is filled with that. Suffering that lasts for a while. We have our aches and pains. We have our heartaches and disappointments. That's what life is like here. But only here for the believer. Because there, no disappointment is possible. No heartache is ever possible. It is the joy of His presence, of His making us perfect, actually achieving what He intends us to be, establishing us, strengthening us. Do you realize that you will be as strong as God is in the world to come, because it's His power that will be sustaining you? You can never perish, He assures you, because He does not will it. And settle you. How nice to be settled, not carried about by the worries and fears of this world, but settled in His presence, the presence of our Bridegroom, knowing that His love will never cease, never change. It's eternal, because He is eternal, and He has promised us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. His love is with us forever. Friends, that should change the way we live, the way we act, the way we think, and the way we pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. O Lord, how we praise Thee for Thy majesty as the eternal God. How we thank Thee for Thy loving care in providing a Savior to rescue us from this wicked world and to change us from poor lost sinners into saints who can serve Thee forever. Forgive us, Lord, that sometimes we forget that eternal destiny and the infinite love that made that possible. Help us, Lord, as frail creatures, that we may understand Thy eternity and walk humbly with Thee here, trusting Thee for everything, that we might walk with Thee by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in Thy presence as a bride forever. Thank You, Lord, for what we do not deserve. Amen.